This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 365. Zero drunken tangents. Zero! Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm the other one, Pandalicious.
And welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey!
How are you?
I feel like I haven't seen you in like forever.
Yeah, pretty much. It was before Thanksgiving.
I know. Where have you been, man?
I've been in the same place. You're the one who, you know, has been a social freaking butterfly.
I know. I've just been fluttering around in the winter cold.
I'm going to start calling you Fluttershy, even though that test said you were Pinkie Pie.
And I'm not very shy.
Nah.
I mean, it's a contradiction in her name, because fluttering would involve a lot of movement, so I'd feel like she'd move around a
lot.
You're
shy until you have a drink.
I'm shy until I decide you're my friend.
Yeah, or you have a drink.
And then when you're my friend, I'm like, touch my boobs! And then it just...
And I just facepalm for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I get drunk and it's even worse than that.
Yeah.
But I'm not drunk right now.
No, you're not. We're both ridiculously sober. So this will be a fun episode.
This will be an informative episode.
This will be a episode of our podcast. Yay!
This will contain less ramblings and less drunken
tangents. Don't promise that. It will have zero drunken tangents.
Yes.
So we won't be able to use that as an excuse, basically.
Not that I often drink now. I've noticed that you do a lot more drinking on the show than I do now.
Well, it's because somebody stopped showing up for Moscato Sundays, so...
Well, somebody has rehearsals on Sundays.
In the evening. Let's now, not go there. You can have Moscato in the morning. Anyway. So let's talk about games and anime and things of that nature.
I mean, we hope you guys enjoyed the clip show last week during, you know, the Turkey Day stuff.
The tryptophan celebration, that is...
The lazy turkey day eat 'em up yum yums day.
The eat 'em up yum yums. Although I do have vanilla sunflower seeds, so I do have something to put in my mouth during this podcast. It's just not alcohol.
Well good. I'm kind of glad.
They're crazy yummy, though.
But you know what else was crazy yummy on the informational tip?
Oh, nice segue. Up top.
Ah, clapping. Oh, I thought we were going to do it.
No, air high five, because if I go over there, then I won't get positioned back on the mic.
Right.
So, air high five, bro.
So, air high five.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I wouldn't say it's overly informative, but Spike's VGX awards were the other night, so...
Oh, yeah, the video game awards.
Because remember, Spike decided to change the VGAs to VGX because VGA is the...
Because X is more exciting and extreme.
That and VGA... I think actually was like the video, like adult porn awards.
What?
There was another word for it, but they had to stop using VGA because.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Is it like a vagina award?
I guess. I don't know, but apparently that's another reason why they changed it to VGX.
Okay.
It was hosted by that guy from Talk Soup, Joel McHale. Oh. I think he's also on Community.
He is.
Which I should probably watch. People tell me I'd like it.
You would definitely like Community. It's right up your alley. And now that you're, you know, teaching and molding young minds, it would probably even more so be up your alley.
I'd probably find things even more hilarious.
I feel like you would.
But anyway, so that was off the other night, and Pandalicious found herself in bed, kind of, like, live tweeting
it on
Facebook.
I was
going to
do something so inappropriate there, but,
I was, I'm so glad you didn't.
Hey, you know.
But she was in bed and she found herself live tweeting on
Facebook. Why are you talking about yourself in the third person?
Because
you're not Kanye West.
I'm recalling a story.
So?
to you our friends.
You don't have to do it in the third person, Kanye.
So, like, I was, like, in bed, and, like, I was kind of in pain.
You've
but,
never even been to like, the Valley. You but, like, stop.
I was watching our friend, the DCD, like, live tweeting on Facebook from the VGX. And I was like, oh, my God, I should totally do the same thing if I don't fall asleep.
Panelicious has never been to the Valley.
So I got myself primed and ready, and I pretty much just did that. And I came in the middle, and it was funny. Sorry. You're hilarious.
Sorry.
Today.
Again.
The jokes. Sober. They just keep coming from you like a waterfall.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Yes, I'm just going to let you. No, I was just going to let you have that.
Thanks.
But it was only a stream.
I appreciate the setup.
It was streamed last night over at the VGXlive.com website.
All right. Hold on. I have to interrupt.
Sure.
So, previously, the VGA's X's were aired, broadcast
on Spike TV.
TV.
Yes. But it was not.
And then Spike TV was going to become Esquire TV. So we're like, oh, so the VGAs aren't going to, VGXs, aren't going to be on Spike anymore because it doesn't fit because it's going to be Esquire TV and it's going to be all like style and shit. And so it's not going to be there. So they said that, hey, we're looking for alternative ways to broadcast the VGAs after that announcement.
So video game awards do not even deserve.
Can I finish my thing?
TV.
Can I? Are you going to let me finish? Are you going to make me Ross fucking Perot over here?
Sorry.
Can I finish?
Yes.
Thank you. So before this should even happen, they were looking at alternative ways of hosting and holding this award ceremony because the change in the channel was going to go from, you know, MXC and Cops and Dude Spike Balls programming to being Esquire TV, which was going to be softer and more style and tips and tricks and foods and, you know, like Esquire magazine.
I still think men ger balls when I hear Esquire.
I know, but not men ger balls. It's more like men ger balls.
Man ger balls?
Not gerbils. Anyway.
Tits!
So, word association with you, Panda, is so dangerous.
It is.
So, already, they were working on different ways to broadcast and host the VGXs before we got to the actual broadcast and them turning it into a stream. Then, earlier this year, the decision came down that they weren't going to change Spike to Esquire. They were just going to take over another channel up in the boonies as part of the deal and make that Esquire. So Spike was going to retain.
It was
going to
stay Cops TV.
Being Spike. And so I think that's why it didn't revert back to being a broadcast on the channel program because they had already decided that it was going to be a stream. And because it was going to be a stream, there were going to be some things that they were going to be able to get away with than they did the previous year. Although I will say, I do think, and Joel McHale is, you know, a decent guy, I do think that Sam Jackson was a better host.
I completely agree with you. And I'm sure a whole lot of people on Twitter last night were thinking the same thing because they were also keeping track. Because the great thing about them doing the streaming thing is that they were definitely going to play up the Twitter interaction aspect of the stream.
Right, because if you're doing something as a live stream, you absolutely need to be tapping into social, specifically Twitter. Because Nielsen did a study and said that, like, 90% of conversation that happens around TV programs takes place on social now.
Yeah.
And in real time. So, if you're having a big event, award show specifically, if you're not tapping into social, you're dumb.
Hey, I believe it, sis, because whenever we live tweet the Oscars, we're sitting in the same room live tweeting the Oscars. Not talking to each other. At all.
Well, yeah, but you don't talk to me, so.
That's not true.
Outside of the podcast.
That's not.
It's kind of normal.
True?
Yeah. And in by, that's not true. It's like, that's only 90% true.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Anyway, so getting back to it. So
Peoples was live tweeting. You saw the live tweet and you're like, I want to be a part of this. So you started watching
I started watching and live tweeting via Facebook. I wasn't even on Twitter, but I was hashtagging like a motherfucker on Facebook, which we know I like to do.
Hashtagging like a motherfucker?
Hashtagging like a motherfucker. And
hashtag I was on that shit.
I was. And like I said, I came in to the program in the middle.
Oh, I was going to say like a wrecking ball, but.
No, that's not how wrecking balls come. They don't come in the middle.
What? Who doesn't come in the middle?
Anyway.
Wait, what?
So.
Are you sure you didn't drink
I was laying in my comfy bed sleeping until
you were having a panda nap?
And it seems like a lot of people, via the whole Twitter trending thing, one were trending, you know, VGX at the top of the trending list, and Joel McHale was sixth. And they kept commenting on the fact that he was trending on Twitter, and I'm sure it's because a lot of people did not care for his style of humor, or lack thereof, or...
Joel McHale is a snarky motherfucker, so if you weren't prepared for snark,
then
you would probably be upset.
I mean, and it also kind of looked like he was kind of drunk.
No shit.
And I mean, he
they're
did
always,
keep...
Wait. They're always drunk, and a big chunk of people are high at the VGAs.
Well, he probably...
It's a video game
award
show.
Maybe somebody gave him some coke before the show. Because, like...
Wait, was he up or was he down?
Like, it was weird because, like, when he was standing up, he seemed to connect with the proper camera. But when he was sitting in the chair having the interviews with... Because they had an interview with Remedy, which was awesome. I was so hoping that they were going to announce something for Alan Wake, but of course they didn't. So that's okay.
Denied, Panda.
It's okay. I know it's going to come back around eventually. But when that would happen, like, apparently he was being cued to look at one camera, and he utterly was like, well, I'm not going to stare at that camera. I'm staring at this camera right now. So, like, his brain was like, I can't move your head right now. So he
okay,
was...
Okay, so that's drunk. That's not coke.
So he was on something. But eventually he started playing around with the cameraman, like, when he was standing up. Like, he's like, now I'm going to stand behind this pillar. You can't see me. And I'm like, if I was your boss, I'd be so pissed at you. But anyway, let's get to the actual...
Awards, right?
Awards. So, and I'll start actually from the back and work our way up to Game of the Year. Because that seems like the best way to go about it.
Yeah, let's not start with Game of the Year, because really then it's, like, downhill from there.
Yeah. So let's start with Most Anticipated Game.
All right, so who were the nominees?
So the nominees this year, and this was all voted, these were voted by fans, the Most Anticipated
Game.
And
this was Most Anticipated for what, 2013 or 2014?
2013.
Okay.
So we had Destiny.
Right.
Titanfall.
Right.
Stick of Truth.
Right.
Witcher 3.
Right.
And Watch Dogs.
Okay, so hold the phone before you share your thoughts, because I want to share my thoughts.
Go ahead.
Okay. Out of all those games that you talked about, which they're all of them
are in 2014, but they were most anticipated in 13. That's the joke.
Okay. Now, the thing about it is Stick of Truth was supposed to be a 2013 game.
Yes, it was. As was Watch Dogs.
As was Watch Dogs. So it's really only Titanfall, Destiny, and Witcher.
Yes.
Which were 2014.
Yes.
Okay. Now, with that being said... Not a single game on that list wasn't super hyped and wasn't anticipated. But for me personally, I would say that probably out of all of those, just thinking of the gaming community as a whole, Titanfall. Because Witcher is really only known to people who've ever played a Witcher game before. And that
and have
really...
learned how to play Witcher. Because if you've never played a Witcher, you can't just jump into any of them.
It's not a just jump in game.
No.
So that kind of has a niche group of people that are excited about that.
Yes.
Same thing with Destiny, because it's a new IP.
I know. When they were showing the trailer for Destiny, because, I mean, I had seen it before, but I didn't really zone in on it, because I'm like...
You didn't pay attention to any of the coverage that we did at E3. It's okay, go ahead.
But no, like, I mean, I remember it, but I'm just like, it just reminds me of Halo. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm like, as I'm watching the trailer for Comprehension now, I'm like, it's Halo plus Call of Duty. That's it.
By Bungie.
Yeah.
So that's how you know it's good.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but I'm just
but
like...
But it's not anything revolutionary.
No.
Right, agreed.
But everyone's like, oh my god, Destiny. I'm like, really? Just take Halo, put it in a blender, mush it up, put Call of Duty in there, mesh it up, put a little hint of Bungie in there, blend that up, and then, because of the weird, like, running-y stuff, think
no,
gears
I've got you
a little
topped.
Bit.
No, I've got you topped. Destiny
is
Halo mixed with Rage.
I never played Rage.
But that's what it is.
Okay. So Bethesda should have gotten a piece of that pie.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yep.
So out of the most anticipated games, Titanfall came in as the victor.
And I was trying to get to, it would have to be Titanfall.
Yes. Well, it was. So you win. Yay! I like the community.
You win the internet. You know the community very
well. Dude, I won the internet back in 92.
Before it was a thing.
When I was all hypertext markup language, bitch.
So let's move on a little bit. Move on to another one that I know that
pick
you
a good
can.
One. Pick a good one.
Best action adventure game.
Okay.
So the nominees were Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag.
Yep.
Grand Theft Auto 5, yep. Last of Us, and Tomb Raider.
Ooh, that's a toughie.
It is, because
those are all strong.
They are all very strong.
And they're all unique.
They are. There is nothing common amongst the four of them.
That's a good grouping. Good on you guys for that one. That's a toughie. Because there are things that I think are great about Tomb Raider as mm-hmm. an action game.
Yes.
Itself and the mechanics that are in it that are different from all those other games. I mean, Last of Us emotionally was such a rich game for me.
But see, but you've already sealed the deal for that one off the gate, because you're not talking about its action, you're talking about its story. And if they had had a category for best story, I know for a fact Last of Us would have taken it all home.
Beyond though.
Beyond was a good story. I'm not saying nay, but Beyond is
like,
pretty heady.
That ass though. You know what I mean?
But it's heady.
But that ass,
it's
though.
It's heady, though.
But that ass,
but though.
But
not everybody is into head.
Anyway, moving on.
Panda.
Going back to.
Panda.
Best action adventure game.
Panda.
So
best
out of those
sound clip ever.
It went to Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Yeah. You want to know why?
Ubisoft.
Pirates.
Pirate assassinations.
Pirate ninja assassinations.
But here's my thing, because you know how I feel about assassins.
I know how you feel about assassins.
I fucking love assassins. I will be buying anything that says Assassin's Creed on it for as long as... The only game I haven't played so far is Liberation, and I'm just waiting for that to be DLC that I can pick up, because I don't own a Vita. But Assassin's Black Flag is probably, as we've talked about, one of the deepest, richest, like, holy shit, there's so much to do, Assassin's games.
I feel like Assassin's
ever.
Creed is the video game's version of Inception, since you're going into shit. Like,
It is.
It's the video
game.
It
was
Inception,
and I think before Inception actually came out.
It was, so it's the hipster.
So, it was Inception before Inception was Inception.
Go ahead, say your comment.
What I was going to say is, as far as, like, action goes, it's really not anything new or different, so I kind of feel like, as much as I love... No, it's not. I mean, it's... You've got sea battles, but hold on. You have sea battles in Black Flag, but you had ship battles in Revolution with Connor, because you had to take out the Aquila and, like, up it. So
right.
That's not anything. They just expanded on it.
Right. Well, I mean,
hold on. You have more time outside of the Animus, because you haven't played Black Flag, so
no. You
can't stop me on this.
No, but I can talk to the other three games.
I know, so I want to set up your counterpoint to what I'm saying here.
Okay.
I'm trying to support you.
What?
Okay. Help me help you.
Okay.
Okay? But that's not anything new. There's no new blades, there aren't any new weapons, because you're still using berserk darts, rope darts, and sleep darts, as well as guns. Now, you have more of them on you.
Right.
The ability. You have crafting that you're doing, which crafting we did before. You know, so there's nothing new there, it's just more expanse and rich. The newness is the hunting on the sea, so it's not just hunting in the land. So you're not just going after bears and shit.
You're just splashing water now in hopes that you find a shark.
Now you're going after sharks and whales.
Cool.
That might have eaten some treasure.
And monkeys.
Cool. But that's not really anything new or different. And I feel like that's not necessarily trailblazing. It's deeper and richer for sure, and I enjoy it. But for me, I would have said that Tomb Raider was the best out of that group.
And I was going to say, for my personal choice, I would have felt like Tomb Raider should have grabbed that win. However, looking at the other three games, because Grand Theft Auto, as we know, because I've talked so many weeks about it,
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. The online, they'll patch it that first week. I still
have
went
you finished
back.
It?
Huh?
Have you finished
not
it?
Not yet. I'm close. I'm near the ending now.
Oh, dude, I'm not.
It takes dedication to tread through that. But anyway, but
when you look at the other three games, like Grand Theft Auto, outside of the fact that, okay, you could inadvertently, and not even, switch between three character storylines that you know are all going to converge on themselves. Interesting and innovative, but not necessarily groundbreaking.
Right. It's GTA.
It's GTA.
It's just richer, deeper GTA.
Exactly. Last of Us, granted, new IP, whole new world, even though everyone totally thought it was going to be like Uncharted, but older, and now instead of chasing mercenaries, you're chasing or trying to avoid infected and whatever.
And good on Naughty Dog for not doing that.
Yes, I appreciate them for not doing that. In terms of the action, because that's where it's faulty for me with Last of Us, because the action was so minimal, because that was whole part of the survival aspect. There wasn't a lot of coup de grace to navigating through a map, you know, part of the world or whatever, because you're trying not to get your face ripped off by a bloater, you know, so like you're not going in guns blazing.
Yeah, so if you did the game right, you weren't engaging.
The whole point is to have as little action as possible.
So you can survive.
So you can live. But going back to Tomb Raider, I mean, it. Out of all of them, I really would have thought that Tomb Raider would have taken that.
Because Tomb Raider is action fucking packed.
At all turns. Like, even the start of the game, you can get your head smushed in by a rock.
Yeah. I messed that up.
Which I messed that up like 8 times.
I messed it up twice. And I only messed it up twice because I watched you mess it up.
Yeah, well. And then Eshmom was like, her head's not supposed to do that. I'm like, yes, Eshmob, I'm aware her head's not supposed to explode like a grape if you push it too hard. Thank you for your commentary. But that was the best action-adventure game.
We diverged there. Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider, I feel, was a stronger win than...
And that's from one of the biggest Assassin's Creed fans
I know. Let's move on
If I could get a tattoo, I would have that.
Let's move on to a category that I certainly don't give a fuck about, but apparently a lot of male gamers do.
Must be sports.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a chick who loves sports, so be it. More power to you.
It's just not our thing.
It's not my cup of Earl Grey.
I like watching people play Madden. And no. I like watching people play NBA 2K because they get really into like it. They bet on it and shit. Like, they are serious about who their starting lineups are and stuff. And so I have respect for that. But
I respect the craft. It's just not a craft I want to learn.
Right.
And with that said, the few times that someone's ever been like, oh yeah, I totally just need to play this quick round of NFL or the show. I'm like,
okay, wait. There's no such thing as a quick round. Unless you're doing like 2 minute drills.
That's the joke. They're like, oh, I just have to finish this quick round. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take a nap on your couch and you do whatever it is you have to do. If you turn around and I'm gone and it's 2 hours later, that's on you, bro. I was here ready to go on said date, and you just had to go and do that. But anyway, so best sports game. The nominees were FIFA 14, MLB The Show, that was the 13, NBA 2K14, and NFL 14. So I hear blah, 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 14.
FIFA?
No, the winner of that was NBA 2K14.
Ooh. See, for me, that's kind of like a throw-up because, again, I don't play sports games.
I don't play sports games.
What? I don't. But at the same time, I would have to say, like, the things that they said that they were going to do in FIFA, I think were a little more ambitious than NBA 2K14. That being said, I've never known an NBA game to not do well, and I've seen a lot of people sharing videos from their PlayStations and from their Xbox Ones playing NBA 2K14, and frankly, it took me like a couple of videos before I realized that they weren't just sharing like video from ESPN of the game, the actual real like people game that happened, because it looked that good, so that doesn't really surprise me. Okay. Like the FIFA game, every time I see video of the FIFA game, it looks like a video game. It doesn't look like a real soccer game happening. All of the video that I've seen of people sharing actual gameplay from NBA 2K14 looks like a freaking Knicks game that actually happened the night before.
All right. Well, then I'll give them credit for that, but I can't. It's like you decide you're going to go play a sports game. I feel like I'm a baby and I'm bundled up and swaddled and I'm being rocked back and forth.
What you're saying is it's nap time. You hear the lullaby go off in the background.
It makes me go sleep. Let's move on to best shooter. Ooh.
Because we should have opinions.
I do. So, the nominees were Battlefield 4, which I have not played.
Right.
Bioshock Infinite, which we know I played.
Yup.
Call of Duty Ghosts, which I know you played.
Yep.
And Metro Last Light, which I have never jumped into a Metro game at all.
Yep, I haven't touched Metro.
So, out of those, I've seen two of them play. I've heard people talk about 4. I haven't heard anyone talk about Metro.
Bioshock. No, I heard people talk about Metro Last Light.
I asked a lot of my friends who played Metro. They're like, oh, I'm still in the other Metro. I haven't gotten into... So apparently they're deep enough that people haven't really transitioned into Last Light.
Yeah, a couple people have mentioned Metro and positively. Okay. I think KBD did. As I remember,
I think there's more Russian hookers in Metro Last Light.
I mean, everything's better with more hookers.
I mean, underground in the sewers. I mean, come on. But anyway, the winner for Best Shooter went to Bioshock Infinite.
As it should. Infinite, I have to say. Like, to be honest with you.
Go ahead, be honest.
Like, really and truly, if I'm honest with myself as I spit seeds across the room.
Spit them seeds.
Well, they flew through my gap.
I know.
Sometimes that happens when I get excited. And shut up. But for me, like, before we get there, Bioshock is probably my game of the year. Like, Infinite. To be honest with you, and we've played a lot of great games.
Yes, I agree.
But I don't think that there has been a game that I've been as obsessed about getting into the game, you know, after dealing with the hype, than Infinite. It was so clever. The story was great. The action was great. The balance was phenomenal. It was so unique then.
I think when we discussed it, I don't think we ran into any serious... Or even little issues.
No,
with the game.
I didn't have any camera issues with the game. I didn't have, you know, any speed bump issues with the game. It ran flawlessly. I've enjoyed the DLC. I'm still running through Burial at Sea because I've had limited time to play because I've been working on our gift guide, which will be out this week. What?
Yay!
But for me, I think Bioshock Infinite is probably game of the year. And the fact that it's a shooter is like secondary to me. Because as everyone knows, if you've listened to this podcast, I'm not
shooters ain't her thing.
I'm not big on shooters. I'm trying to get better with them. You know, my task for next year is to actually try to play some more sports games. So I'm broadening my horizons.
Oh, well, good for you, bro. That's a great New Year's resolution. I will not be doing that.
I'm trying to broaden my horizons so I can be a well-rounded gamer.
I'd rather chloroform puppies.
So that way I'm not a siloed gamer. You know, this past year it was on shooters. You know, first persons and the like. Next year, I think it's going to be sports games. And the year after that, I think I'm going to try to do survival games. We'll see. I'm not promising on that because we know how I feel.
Oh, my God.
But I'm trying to be more well-rounded.
I appreciate you trying to step out of your comfort
zone.
But
I have to say, like, the experience that I've had of, like, a game that I would pick up at a moment's notice and replay it again from the frickin' beginning... Infinite does that for me. All so, right. So frankly, out of everyone that you listed, I would have cast a ballot for Infinite. So I'm glad that they won because I think Irrational really
did a phenomenal
job.
If Call of Duty Ghost had won, then they would have had to implement the fact that Riley could shoot guns. If the dog could shoot guns, then it would have won.
I mean, that would have been a hands down.
I mean, that would have been great. Riley shooting a sniper rifle. Would have been boss.
Yeah, that really would have been.
But I mean, they didn't have me on their testing team to be like, we should incorporate shooting from the dog. But I mean, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, the dog could run point and the dog could be a trigger for bombs.
But
yeah.
Come on.
If you could, yeah.
All right, so let's go to best fighting game. Since we both happen to like them. So
Fighter.
Here were the nominees.
Yep.
We had Daivokiku. We had Injustice Gods Among Us. Killer Instinct, and Tekken Revolution.
Okay, throw Tekken out.
Yeah.
Just throw Tekken out.
It's gone. So really, we're just
looking... And it hurts me that I say that, but throw Tekken out.
Okay. So we're really just looking at Daivokiku.
Daivokiku.
Injustice, Gods Among Us, and Killer Instinct.
All right, so Daivokiku, ridiculously unique.
Very.
Absolutely love it. But.
But limiting, because obviously the only abilities you have in the game is to dive and kick. And it's a one-shot kill. Granted, pulled so many people's attention at PAX.
Well, and I love that it's one-shot kill because that reminds me very much of...
Timing and pacing?
No. instant death in the arcade, right? Right. If you lost a match, you had to either put more quarters in.
Or that was it. Move on to the skeet ball and be done with it.
And I feel like that's the nostalgia thing that Dive Kick taps into for a lot of people. And the fact that it pokes fun at itself throughout the entire process is great. But that has limited reach, right? If you're talking about best fighter, then it really has to be a full more range than of just
fighting styles.
A couple of trick ponies. Yes. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, with that said, then you got Killer Instinct, which we all know and have been anticipating its, you know, reemergence in the fighting genre
Which was a free-to-play that wasn't really free-to-play if you wanted to play it the way that
I mean, if you wanted to really play it with all the characters, you were going to throw some money at it.
$39.99.
But if you didn't and you just played with the free characters and locked everybody by progression, then it was free, but that would eat up more of your time.
It'd take a long time to earn them characters,
and obviously it would force you to have to learn fighting styles of the characters you may not have liked in the initial game.
Yeah, it would take a long time. Just buy them.
But then we also have Injustice, which I know here on Esh that we have talked extensively about, or rather, Ninja has talked extensively about.
Because Fighters is my ish.
Fighters is her bread and butter. It makes her world go round and round and round.
It makes my world go round and round and round. Makes my world go.
Why are you keep making me sing?
I don't know. But anyway.
The winner was Injustice.
And I agree. Because here's the deal.
I didn't play it, so I can't comment to this.
So here's the deal. Well, you watched me play because I was like, I was like, this is the only game where Aquaman is the bomb. And I showed you his attack where he makes the shark come.
Yes. And then of course she's like, and I'm like, I still don't get it. And she's and Ninja was like, and you know, here comes a spoiler for all those who may not have played Injustice yet. But Superman kills Shazam. And it made me stop because I'm like, wasn't Shazam a little boy? And she was like, yes. I'm okay. Like, he kills children?
And Superman, this is how Superman, you know Superman's gone off his fucking rock. Okay, he kills Shazam, and he kills Shazam in like the most heartless way possible.
Does he shoot his laser beam into his eye holes?
Into his eye holes and basically
fries his brain.
Fucking incinerates his brain in his skull. I had to stop playing the game at that moment because I was like, what the fuck is wrong with Superman? He just killed Shazam.
Shazam's like 12.
Oh my God. What? Oh.
Shazam hadn't even really hit puberty yet.
Not really.
He hadn't even touched a boob.
It was because of the power of the wizard that he was a full grown man. Anyway. It gets worked out. Injustice was so well balanced and so well thought out. And the way that you were able to unlock characters and through the DLC that they released, the plan was fantastic to really create, I would say, a roster that rivaled the Capcom versus Marvel lineup just because it felt like a better lineup with the characters that they released over time. And just the way that the story progressed, it just felt balanced. And frankly, the way that they released DLC and characters, the ability to unlock different pieces. Plus, I also thought that the matchmaking for our online play was done really well. It's just a solid freaking fighter. It very much reminded me of the experience that I had the first time that I ever played Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat!
Even though it didn't have an online multiplayer piece, it just felt like a great arcade fighter in my living room.
Okay.
With the DC characters. So it was like double bonus awesome.
All right. Let's moving right along.
Moving right along. See, there I go singing again. I know. Damn it. I need a drink because evidently drinking keeps me from sinking.
Yes. From sinking?
Shut up. Singing.
Okay. Let's move on to another avenue that I don't tend to traverse often. Best driving game.
Ah, the driving
game. Because we know Panda can't drive for shit in
video
games.
Panda cannot drive for ass.
Nope. And I bet you if they ever made like a bumper car simulator, I'd suck at that and not bump a single car. Whatever the objective is for a vehicle, I can't do it.
But seriously, why can't you drive in a game? Like, you can fly planes in Saints Row 4.
Yes. In Saints Row 4.
Why can't you drive?
I don't know. I wish I could unlock that part of my brain.
Why?
But anyway, here were the nominees for Best Driving Game. We had
Forza.
We had Forza Motorsport 5. Duh. We had Need for Speed Rivals, yeah. Grid 2, and F1 2013.
Yeah, so if that didn't go to Forza, then this thing
I don't
linked.
Know what any of these games are for, but Forza 5 won.
Yeah, it should have.
I mean, I've seen, like, beautiful, beautiful cars. I'm assuming that's Forza. I don't know. I've seen people putting things on the Facebook of matches where they're driving in beautiful cars.
Yep, that's either Forza or Need for Speed. More than likely, it's Forza.
Okay. So, congratulations,
Especially
Forza.
Especially if you're talking about Bobby Blackwolf, because, yeah, he's been playing Forza
like a
boss.
I wish I could speak to you in a more informed way, but I can't. So, I'm going to go on to my favorite subject, best RPG.
Oh, yeah, this is all you.
This is all me.
Yep.
So, here are the nominees for best RPG. We had Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn. We had Fire Emblem Awakening, Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch, and Pokemon X and Y. I have played all of these except for Fire Emblem Awakening, because someone was supposed to lend me Awakening, but then we stopped talking. So that didn't happen.
Yeah, that would,
I kind of, that's my fault. Anyway.
Because Pandalicious is kind of a dick.
I kind of just say what I want to say, and sometimes I don't think about the logic of that.
Because you feel like you can end the sentence with, totally redeemable, up high, bro, and
Or nope. Consolation high five, bro.
Yeah.
Nope. And then the slap never came because.
Yeah. Nope.
So.
And no.
And even though I haven't played X and Y, I'm getting a copy of X and Y. We already know how I feel about Pokemon, so I don't even have to explain to you that. But I'm kind of glad about this. The winner was Ni No Kuni, which I played to completion. Over 96 hours of gameplay.
Oh, you know what? You never told me that you finished Ni No Kuni.
Yes, I finished Ni No Kuni. I finished the whole thing. All of it.
Wow.
All of it.
I did not know that.
And I'm only 10 achievements away from getting the Platinum Trophy.
Wow.
Only 10, but they're the suckiest ones, and I have to restart a game to do them. So I won't do them.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
So I feel that Ni No Kuni deserved that win. It was very immersive.
I mean, I love looking at it and watching you play. I knew I didn't have the temperament to do it.
And honestly, I stopped playing it for quite some time. When I was at the 40-hour mark, I'm like, I need to take a break. Because I can't listen to this girl say Sanctify anymore. Like, I can't. And I couldn't stand that Esther, the only female character in your party, no matter what I did to try to beef her up with her fucking magical harp, she would be the first one to knock out. Even though she had the most health out of everybody, because I beefed her up that way. Still, I'm just going to play this harp and I don't even know what my point in life is. But Final Fantasy has been struggling for a while.
Remind me again, isn't Lightning Returns the one that I want to play because it's action RPG?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one I want to play.
Yeah, I know.
And I have to play it on your PS3 because
mine
is disconnected.
It's so... it hurts. It hurts me. And I
want to play it!
And I like Lightning as a character. But I don't...
If I buy it, will you play it? Let me watch.
If you bought it and I didn't have to put any money to it, I would play it so that you could watch and talk
Yay!
About it.
Yay!
But you'd have to buy me dinner.
Wait, I have to buy you the game and dinner?
Well, the copy of the game is yours. You're going to take it after we're done. All right, you can buy me... You can buy me a
Wait, can I buy you, like, a Taco Bell dinner?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Like
I thought you were talking like a sit-down restaurant dinner.
No.
I was like, whoa, I don't want to see it
Like I would
that
ever
bad.
Turn down TB.
Fourth meal.
Anyway, so with that said, Final Fantasy Reborn, I felt it had a lot of good elements in it, but I also had a strong disconnect when I played it the few times because everybody was too pretty. Everybody.
Right.
Even the little people... were too pretty.
I like it when the little people are pretty, though.
I'm not saying that you don't deserve to be pretty, but in a whole universe, not everybody is pretty. The bad guys are overly pretty.
That's true. You usually have to have some race that's ugly.
Yeah, or at least a different definition of what beauty is. But
right.
Whatever. But
right.
Everyone was anime cute boy pretty.
They were moe
everybody.
Pretty.
Everybody was too moe pretty for me. So it was a disconnect. I mean, come on. Skyrim... No matter what you did in Skyrim, everyone was basic, like there were nice qualities to each face. Like maybe that one person had a nice nose, but no one was overtly hot.
Well, winter was coming, so.
I mean, but I'm just saying, like, you know.
In the future, maybe everybody's just gorgeous.
I doubt that.
If you're able to make immaculate, like, ridiculously beautiful floating cities in the sky, you could probably
weed out. There's some ugly fuckers up there, though, in Colombia.
You could probably weed out ugly people.
By pitching them off the side of your town. Right. Anyway,
moving on. And then the ugly gene doesn't exist anymore because you've eradicated it.
Moving on to best independent game.
Indie games. Talk to me.
Indie games. So, the nominees were Gone Home, Kentucky Route Zero, Papers, Please, and The Stanley Parable.
Route Zero is the only one I don't know about.
I have played two of these four games. I've played The Stanley Parable. And yes. I have played Papers, Please.
Yes.
And sadly, Gone Home was the winner. I did not play it. It did look really good, but I had not had a chance, and I was not interested in Kentucky Route Zero at all.
Papers, Please, I like.
Papers, Please was very difficult for me, you know, because you have to go through all the paperwork of the Russian people and had to figure out who was the counterfeit and who wasn't the counterfeit.
Yep.
And then, like, a sprite murder would happen, and papers would get switched around. It got crazy, but it was awesome, and I enjoyed trying to figure it out. The Stanley Parable, though, for me, I felt should have won.
Mm.
Only because, I mean, it was initially a port for Second Life?
I believe so.
And people were just dicking around having a great time. And the stories, because, I mean, depending on what you do, whether you're listening to the voice or you're not, and the whole point of the story is to not listen to listen to the narrative and figure out what the deal is. The storylines kind of got darker and darker as you go.
Not kind of.
They do. And it's interesting because as I was playing it, I would come to a certain point, I'm like, he's telling me to go through the right door, but I feel like going to the left door. You know what? I'm like, no matter what he tells me, I'm going to do the dead opposite. And half the time it led me to die a lot, which was kind of the whole point. But, I mean, congratulations, Gone Home. I think they were out in Portland, Oregon, so apparently that's where a lot of indie games get birthed sometimes, but good for you. So, moving right along.
We're moving along.
We are going to talk about best DLC.
Oh, the DLC, which is a good time to bring this up because we had asked you guys, long back in the day when we were asking questions, what your favorite DLC was.
Yep, and because of faults of mine, it turned into the question of the month, and we only got really one response from that, but just to rehash, the question was, what was your favorite DLC? And if you were going to respond on Facebook, you could give us a detailed reason to why.
Yep.
Our one guy, Ascended Leo, on Twitter, he answered the question. And he told me that his favorite DLC was for GTA 4 because it improved a lot on the gameplay. It introduced more guns. And I think he's talking about the Valet of Tony Bobby or whatever his name was. And I remember the trailer for that, and it had that Pijano song by Eric Prez. Dun, 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 that one.
Panju?
Yeah, that song. And I liked that song. So, but thank you very much for your comments. So now we'll talk a little bit about ours. I'll go first, since it's my question. My favorite DLC, or best DLC in my opinion, was 400 Days for Telltale's The Walking Dead. And the reason why I bring this up, because it's the only DLC that I can remember buying first before I realized it wasn't its own standalone game.
Yeah, I remember how pissed you were about
and
that.
And I was like, what the fuck?
And I was like, wait, you bought the DLC and you
and I was like, it's DLC? I thought it was a standalone because everyone was talking about it in a standalone fashion, which itself is a standalone game that can complement the already existing five episodes of The Walking Dead. But you kind of have to play those before you can play it. And I was like, no. But then Ninja was really nice and gave me some points so I could buy it so I could play it all. And then I was like, super yay. So it was 400.
I'm super awesome.
She's super awesome. So mine would be 400 Days. What was yours, Ninja?
So I started thinking about it, and the first piece of DLC that came to mind was Burial at Sea. And I've played a lot of DLC, you know, because I was thinking about different packs that I got for Saints Row and DLC for Mass Effect, because there was a lot for Mass Effect. But, like, the first one that came to my mind was Burial at Sea. And, again, I think this just harkens back to my great experience with BioShock Infinite. I thought that Burial at Sea just added so much and was so well thought out. You know, we haven't played both pieces yet. I've just played the one piece. I'm waiting for the second piece.
Oh, that one piece.
Looks like the shit. But for me, I just thought DLC should always add to the game and to the experience. And good DLC should be able to almost stand alone as its own mini game.
Thus.
And if it does, then it's great DLC. If it doesn't, then it was content that should have been on disc to begin with and just wasn't for whatever reason. And Burial at Sea did that for me, and was a great mini game by itself, if it was by itself. So that's my pick.
All right. So going back to our nominees for best DLC, we had Borderlands 2, Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon's Keep, Dishonored, The Knife of Dunwall.
Knife of Dunwall was good.
Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon.
Blood Dragon was the shit. If Blood Dragon didn't win, I'll be surprised.
And Mass Effect 3, Citadel. Now, out of these, I have only played Borderlands 2.
Wait, you didn't play Citadel?
No. I didn't have the money, bro!
Bro!
Sorry, I'm broke as
Why
fuck.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because I was embarrassed. I was broke, man.
I could have hooked it up.
I know, bro, but I was
Citadel
embarrassed.
Was solid.
Anyway, by the
but
way.
But seriously, Blood Dragon.
Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon took the win.
See? Yep.
For that. So, yeah. Kudos to you, Far Cry 3, for your exceptional downloadable content.
It was just so out of left field. It was awesome.
I want to move to something a little redundant. Best Nintendo game. And I only say redundant because Nintendo's competing with itself. So it realized it can't play in the sandbox with Xbox and PlayStation all the time.
We have our own category, motherfucker.
Whee! It's like, you're not allowed in our category because
you can't play with us.
You can't hack to our level of Nintendo-ness.
We are not in the apples to oranges category. We are in the
Nintendo category because we play with ourselves. Enough said. Moving on.
Another soundbite.
The nominees for Best Nintendo Game were Pikmin 3, Rayman Legends, Super Mario 3D World, and The Wonderful 101.
You mean The Wonderful 101?
The Wonderful 101. Yep. The Extraordinarily Wonderful 101. The 101 Part 2.
The Ridiculously Adorable 101 Part 2B Boogaloo.
Yes. So from that, I have played Pikmin 3.
Yep.
How
did you play Pikmin 3?
Because I have friends who have Wii U's.
You also have a sister who has a Wii U.
And when I ventured over to a certain person's place while they were cooking dinner, they're like, hey, play this round of Pikmin for me. And then it turned into, wow, you played Pikmin for 2 hours now. And I said, yes. And then 2 hours more went by, and then I took a nap. Because that person decided to play a sports game. Anyway. So I played Pikmin 3. I want to play Super Mario 3D World just for the cat suit. Don't judge me. I have heuristic tendencies,
if
and I don't give a fuck.
You can play it on my Wii U. How are you like
Maybe
that?
Maybe someone will give it to like me that? For Christmas. Anyway, I did not play Rayman Legends, and I never played The Wonderful 101. But Super Mario 3D World took the win.
Duh.
I haven't.
Anytime you have a Mario game in a category or a Zelda game in a category, the Mario game or the Zelda game is going to win. Wanna know why? Because they are the legendary games that launched the platform. They are the reason that people became fans of the platform. So obviously, whenever they come out, unless it's complete ass.
Like Mario Sunshine?
It
Mario
win.
Sunshine? Mario Sunshine. And Sonic Generations.
Sonic Generations.
Sonic fucking Generations. Sonic Colors. Sonic Colors.
Yeah, there you go.
Damn it! Anyway, my issues, and I've got several.
Oh,
I need to go on the issues program.
You had to say Colors. I'd completely forgotten about that.
Colors, man.
I forgot.
Colors. Do you not see the rage in my
eyes?
Dude,
I forgot about that until you mentioned it.
Ah! It pains me.
Oh,
it
man.
It pains me. Anyway, my issue with Super Mario 3D World, taking this win is, one, it hasn't been out long enough, in my opinion, to have made it onto the list. There have been like eight other Mario games that have
come
out.
But Panda, everybody knew it was coming out.
I know.
From E3.
Well, so then it should have been anticipated game title category, not in you're gonna win before we actually see the full numbers for the week.
But Panda, it's the VGXs.
Well, you know what? They suck balls.
They don't have to have random reasons.
Now, granted, I'm gonna play this game, and I know I'm gonna love it. But I don't feel it should have been here in the category. And it has a cat suit. And they all say meow. And Luigi apparently has a very strange, pervy meow. Because it's Luigi. By the way,
is it meow?
I don't remember. I don't know. But I've seen playthroughs of it. And I've only ever heard Peach's meow and Mario's. But from people who have played have told me it's quite pervy. Like, when you hear him, you're like, no, Luigi. Like, you feel like he's making purr face at you and possibly, like, rubbing his cat parts at you.
No!
Like, it's kind of pervy. But I'm going to play it and probably enjoy it. But I don't feel it should have been in the, it shouldn't have been in the lineup. There have been other games. Right. Mario games on top of that could have been
I hear you on your feels.
Moving on to another category that I'm not too versed in, but hopefully maybe through some savings I will be. Best PC game. Because I want to invest in a PC. I think we need to talk more PC stuff here. And having a Mac is kind of hard.
There's Steam. There's more things coming out on Steam. And you don't have the time
to save up the money. But in my mind.
To PC game and console game and anime watch and
so
do social.
But the nominees for best PC game were Battlefield 4, Gone Home, Papers, Please, and Stanley Parable. Oh, I don't know. That sounds very much like, best indie game?
Yeah, really.
Outside of Battlefield 4. Mm. So, no surprise here. Gone Home took the title for that one,
It has to, because Battlefield has had a few issues.
No shit.
Surprise, surprise.
No shit.
But they're mostly connectivity issues for the server and not necessarily the gameplay itself.
Game faults.
But yeah, so. That one kind of surprises me, because I thought that Battlefield would have taken it. Even with the issues.
Apparently. I guess I would say I'm not too surprised at that, because a lot of people that I know who play Battlefield don't play it on the PC. They play it split between the consoles. I don't hear too many people like, oh man, I was playing Battlefield on my PC last night. I don't hear that. Anyway. Best handheld game.
Best handheld!
Here are the nominees.
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing New Leaf. Pokemon X and Y.
Oh, shit.
Tearaway, which I don't know what
that means.
Tearaway. Tara. Like, tear. It looks like tear away. Like, tear away. Like, tear away paper. Is that it? Okay. yeah. And Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds.
Zelda.
I'm trying to hold my slight rage, because once again.
Zelda
takes the win. And Zelda's barely been out for a week and a half at this point.
Zelda.
Just saying.
But it's Zelda, though. That ass, though. I'm just going to try and insert that as many.
And don't get me wrong. I love Zelda. I played Majora's Mask. I did.
I almost finished,
Almost?
Yeah.
I played the fuck out of Twilight Princess.
Yeah, I almost finished Twilight Princess. Almost
finished. I didn't play Skyward Sword, though.
I did.
I wanted to play it just for the bird scene.
And I played the four,
just
the
bird scene.
What do you call it? The one on the 3DS that you got for being an ambassador. The four swords?
You got four swords. Yeah. Yeah.
Which you never played with me, so it was just me and three other Links, because
I have it. We should play. Because I probably like that better. So, anyway. Out of these, and yes, I am miffed that Zelda took the win, because I feel like if Zelda had not been put in the lineup, Animal Crossing New Leaf would have taken this win, and it deserved this win.
Depends.
And it deserved the win over Pokemon, and this is from a Pokemon fan herself saying this.
Yeah, New Leaf was the bomb.
I feel like New Leaf
town is probably so covered in weeds right now.
Covered in weed.
It really is. I need to fucking save up enough money to get the Rossetti thing, because
best casual game, casual gaming for casual gamers.
It's casual, y'all.
It's casual time. Get on your casual pants for the casual game nominees. Animal Crossing New Leaf. Disney Infinity. Plants vs. Zombies 2. And Skylander Swamp Force.
Ooh. Swamp Force. That one's a tough one for me between Infinity
and... Don't you actually own all of these? Outside of Skylanders?
I don't have Skylanders.
But Disney Infinity is like Skylanders, so it's like owning Skylanders.
Right, but we're talking about, like, best casual games. So that one's a little difficult for me because, really, it's between Infinity and, not Animal Crossing, but,
Plants vs. Zombies?
Yeah, because Plants vs. Zombies is a great casual game, and because it's on so many platforms, you can play it on iOS, you can play it on Steam, you can play it on a console, it really has a much deeper and broader reach than Infinity, because Infinity is... console. They're working on an iOS release that should be out soon, I believe, so that way any of the characters that you buy, when you get the little card with them, you can use that code to put them into the Infinity, so when you get the iOS app, you'll have them as available in the iOS version as well.
Okay.
So I think at that point, when that happens, it would probably be one that has more mass appeal, casual appeal, but I'm gonna have to say that it's probably went to Plants vs. Zombies.
And it did.
Ah! Yes! And I'm guessing this because I did not watch the VGXs.
But I
I was did. Cleaning my house.
I did.
So that's why I'm like, I'm guessing that it went to because...
Alright, so...
But that makes sense because it's just...
I'm quickly going to talk about best Xbox game and best PlayStation game just together. So that we can move on to the heavy hitters of the night.
Yeah, let's do this.
So best Xbox game went to Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, which I kept seeing images for, and I'm like, I'm going to play that, and then I never did. And then best PlayStation game went to The Last of Us, which, hello.
Duh. Now,
Beyond hadn't been out. Now, see, this is making sense.
Yeah, now, see, Beyond didn't even get any nominations.
Beyond didn't, because it didn't make the time limit, which doesn't make sense because... Beyond came out way before Mario 3D World.
That's correct.
But whatever.
Beyond
but
came
whatever.
Out in October.
But whatever. Whatever. You know what? I mean, I gotta get on
Because I'll be
boards.
Honest with you, like, if the line was November, the game had to be released by, and Beyond made the cut, it would be difficult for me to pick between Beyond and Last of Us.
It would be hard.
But I probably would end up at the end of it picking, Beyond over Last of Us.
See, and Last of Us took the win, like I said.
But Last of Us was amazing. And I'm not saying it's not. But if I had to pick between Beyond and Last of Us, it would be difficult. I would go back and forth, but probably at the end of it, I would pick Beyond.
Okay.
Just because it was so unique, and the way that you could do multiplayer, two-person play with somebody playing
as Aiden,
either with the controller or with a tablet.
Yes.
Really... was so unique to me that would do it.
All right, so I'm going to group these next two together. I'm going to talk about best song in a game and best soundtrack. So first, best song in the game, it went to Will the Circle Be Unbroken, performed by, I'm going to give you characters for this, I'm going to give you Booker DeWitt and Elizabeth/Anna, depending on who you really want her to be.
Spoilers! She's Anna DeWitt.
From Bioshock Infinite. And out of the nominees, it was the only original score. So, I kind of felt
well,
like that
was
going
to... Well, it was the only original score and original performance for the game, right?
For the game.
Because the other things were existing songs that were done by artists that were already licensed to be on the soundtrack.
Yeah. So, this was definitely...
It's kind of like that Oscars category, best original score, and like... When
it always goes to like a Pixar or a short animated short.
No. In recent years, it went to It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp because it was the only original song written for the movie.
So everybody was like, future game developers, have people
just have 36 Mafia do songs for you.
That or, you know, just come up with some original song that your character might hum. You know,
get back to making original tracks.
Yeah, that could happen.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like, it makes sense for a GTA to have licensed songs in it because of the radio station
piece.
Okay, but for me, like, it would have been very weird if there had been like licensed music in Bioshock Infinite.
Yes, it would
and there were in
they
weird
had, like,
ways.
They had God Only Knows.
Right.
The quartet sings it.
Uh-huh. And they had some other songs on voxophones that you would pick up because through tears in the time you had current day tracks that were performed by people Right. In the time, and it made sense.
And by the way, I mean, out of the nominees for Best Game and Song, two of them will come out of Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah.
Like, Kendrick Lamar, like, who doesn't love ADHD?
Love Kendrick Lamar?
And Sleepwalking Communist. From the Chain Gang of 1974.
Yeah.
So, moving on, though, to Best Soundtrack.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 5 obviously took that.
Yeah.
Hello. Last of Us had a very minimalistic sound score, really.
It was mostly environment and ambiance. Yeah. Which worked, but as far as...
Soundtrack... Like, hey, I'm going to drive for 4 hours. Let me listen to the soundtrack of The Last of Us.
That would just make me scared and sad. Zombie apocalypse was actually scared upon and me. Sad.
Anyway, so now
I would have to take some.
I'm going
to
move up mood enhancement to best voice actresses.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about best voice actors. Female.
So actress because they didn't.
All right, voice actor female. Let's do it.
Yes. Nominees were Ashley Johnson. She played Ellie in Last of Us. Courtney Draper, Elizabeth in Bioshock, Camilla Ludington, Lara Croft from Tomb Raider, and Ellen Page as herself in Beyond. Her name was Jodie Holmes in Beyond. Anyway, Ellie from Last of Us took that win.
Yeah, it was a good emotional character.
Absolutely, and everyone kind of thought she was Ellen Page anyway. Moving on, best voice actor male. We had Troy Baker from Last of Us, Troy Baker from Bioshock.
Troy Baker from Around Your Corner, and Troy Baker from that game that hasn't come out yet, but you're going to play it because Troy Baker.
Right, and Willem Dafoe as himself in Beyond.
And Willem Dafoe.
And Troy Baker from Last of Us took the win.
Yeah.
So he had a 50% chance of winning.
That's a good place to be, walking in going, like, I got a 50-50 shot of winning this thing.
Instead of a
25% shot.
All right, so now we've come to the big ones.
The big ones.
So first and foremost, I'm going to talk about Studio of the Year.
All right, Studio of the Year.
Because I feel, as Panelogic would see it, that usually the studio of the year usually would house the game of the year.
Ah, so you are the one who thinks that just like in the Oscars, if the best picture of the year wins, whoever directed it should win for director of the year.
You would think so.
Your logic dictates that if I have the best movie or the best game of the year,
that I have the best dev house working on it.
Right.
That is my logic. So here are the nominees. Here's the
thing. I don't necessarily disagree with your logic.
So here were the Studio of the Year nominees. We had Irrational Games, duh. Naughty Dog, duh. Rockstar North, duh. And the Fulbright Company. And I don't even know who they are. I don't know.
Well, did you look it up before we
started? No, because I didn't care because the first three I knew. By the way.
I was like, fuck you. I don't know what you did.
By the way, so Studio of the Year was won by Naughty Dog for Last of Us. So, hello, for very good reason. I'm big support of Naughty Dog.
Right. So they won Studio of the Year.
They won Studio of the Year. Moving on to the last thing that got announced. Game of the Year.
Game of the Year.
Nominees
so you're like,
were.
All right, Naughty Dog got Studio of the Year.
So I'm like, oh man, I'm just waiting. Waiting for the words. So here were the nominees. You had Bioshock Infinite. Makes sense.
Yep.
Grand Theft Auto 5. Makes sense.
Yep.
Super Mario 3D World. Last of Us makes sense.
Yeah, because it's about to go
down. And Tomb Raider. So where the fuck was Crystal Dynamics in Studio? Where the fuck were they?
I don't know. Where did they go?
They were not part of Studio of the Year.
What's up? Why no Crystal D love?
Like, I'm just saying, they show their game, but not they don't get studio love. But anyway, so if you didn't notice, there were four studios nominated, but five games of the year. So there's a good chance that none of the studios of the year would be the people who housed the game.
There
was an outside chance. Yep. That would have been interesting to talk about.
20% chance.
Anyway, the winner of Game of the Year goes to
Last of Us.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
What?
Yes.
What?
And I have a point of contention with this.
Oh, Panda has a point.
Just a point of contention. Because when you look at a lot of the games here, you see continuations of already established franchises. The only innovation that you see, and don't even get me started on Super Mario 3D World, because everyone initially thought that 3D World was a continuation of the first 3D World, but it's not. It's apparently a sequel to the Land series, which actually isn't even a sequel to the Land series. I don't even want to get into it. I don't. Anyway, so out of this entire thing.
By the way, Panda Fulbright makes Gone Home.
Oh. Okay. All right. Kudos to them. All right. I'll give them their props. But for Game of the Year, the only contenders for me, my personal opinion.
For your personals.
Is The Last of Us and Tomb Raider. Because they had the reimagining of Tomb Raider.
Right.
It completely started from scratch. It was a whole new thing. And obviously, The Last of Us was a brand new IP from Naughty Dog. And I love Grand Theft Auto 5. I'm a fan of Rockstar. I wanted to work there. I seriously still wish they'd reconsider. But whatever. They just can't handle my swagger. But I don't feel that their game, though good, deserved the Gaudy. Because they only deepened themselves, like expanded on what they already know how to do.
You could make the same case for Last of Us.
Not necessarily. Because even though Uncharted, we know, was a survivalist adventure platformer, the elements of surviving in Last of Us are completely different from Uncharted. Because you could go in guns blazing and shoot everybody else out, but this was about tact, precision, and strategy. It is completely different if you look at it from that place. Which I feel a critic should be able to dissociate between two games in the same house that way.
Right.
So in my mind, I feel like the only standouts there really were Last of Us and Tomb Raider. So I feel Agreed. Both of them got gypped. They got a quick dick in the butt without pasta before. That's what happened. Like, the lights went out. The dick
and they got bunga bunga.
The dick bandit struck and left them going, "Where's the pasta?"
I don't see no linguine.
Someone said there was gonna be pasta and meatballs.
It's then, me, Mario.
And he gave them hot dickings. But anyway, I mean, I'm going to clap for Grand Theft Auto because I did enjoy their game. I just do not believe they deserved
Game of the Year.
Game of the Year.
You know, I mean, here's the thing, Panda. I agree with you on that. Grand Theft Auto 5 was so anticipated, though. I think that's part of the reason why it got Game of the Year, because not only was it anticipated for over a year. I mean, pretty much when people ended with the last piece of DLC for Grand Theft Auto 4.
They're like, oh, I can't wait for five!
Five! Yeah. Five. You know? So that's part of it. At least I hope that was part of it and the logic behind it.
I hope there was nothing political like money. Boo-boo.
Okay, Droopy.
Oh my god, because the Oscars are also political? Get the fuck out! What?
Or Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'm gonna be in The Departed too. How is that possible?
I don't know. That's not possible.
It's not.
It's not possible.
Anyway.
I agree with you. Out of all of those games and the fact that for whatever reason Beyond wasn't eligible to be part of it.
It's conspiracy! Conspiracy!
Because
I'd like to say conspiracy, but I don't think women were involved.
I feel that Beyond should have been a contender for Game of the Year. Frankly, out of the games that you listed, Game of the Year for me, like I said earlier, was BioShock. So the fact that Infinite didn't even, like, remotely, no, it seemed like, have a shot.
No, it didn't, really.
It's kind of like, rrr?
Yeah, it didn't. So... That was it. We've gone through all of them. I purposely made sure of that because I want it to lead up to this week's Esh Question of the Week.
Esh Question.
Please take the time to, you know, listen to question. We'll put a little video. I'm going to put a little visual up there for you. It's going to be available.
You almost said video and you're like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not. Don't have time. It will be available on our Facebook page on Monday. It's over at the VOD Network, at the podcast feed, so here it is for you. the Ask Question of the Week. Do you feel that Last of Us got gypped for Game of the Year? Simple yes, simple no. If you want to give me a reason, by all means you can. I'll probably fight you if you say no.
If you hit us up on Twitter, make sure that you use the hashtag #eshquestion so we can find it easily. And make sure that you mention us in the response as well, because that makes it easier for us to find. But definitely hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh. Go to the Esh question. We'll pin it to the top of the page to make it easy for you guys to find. And answer the question.
Answer it truthfully. We could still be cordial acquaintances.
We'll share our answers. I think we already know pandas.
If you don't, go back and listen to this podcast again.
But hit us up. Let us know. Answer the question. You can also answer on our VOG page. And we'll share next week when we share a new episode of our weekly podcast. And you can catch that podcast, like I said, weekly, with brand new episodes going live on Monday. But you can catch the airing of our show Tuesday at VOG Network.
Because you're participating with VOG.
Especially when you answer our questions, Silly Billy.
So you should do that.
So make sure that you check us out, as well as some of the great entertainment that you can find over on the VOG Network, like Bobby Blackwolf Show, Orange Lounge Radio,
Critical Myth, Anime Jam Session.
And there's just so much great
they're so great over there.
You are so taken care of, you geeky geek.
They swaddle you with nerdy geekness
from a place of love and understanding,
and they don't inappropriately rub you.
They might inappropriately rub you.
I might,
but it'll feel good.
Yes, it will.
So that being said, after our show airs, you can catch brand new shows from the Esh Network, like a new episode of the No Borders, No Race podcast.
KBD bringing it in.
Then on Wednesday, pumping fresh beats for your ear holes, the EDM Master Deuce as well releases a brand new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, because it's for your oral pleasure. And then on Thursday, if you got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together, the Issues Guys, with a brand new call-in show that you can participate in
live
by calling in and share your issues. So make sure that you do all that. And not to mention, for the rest of your nerd needs, well, we're all up on the Twitters at ESH News. You can check out all the individual members who make up the Land of Esh by going to my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and checking out the Land of Esh list. Check out all the stuff that we write about on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. All our freshest and latest news reviews can be found there, including dropping this week our holiday gift guide, which is full of recommendations for the various types of nerds and geeks in your life, with direct links on where to buy, including some last-minute gift ideas for you procrastinating motherfuckers.
So, I call them ninjas.
What?
Because you procrastinate like a mofo.
What?
You do.
Oh.
Yeah, it's on Twitter. If you're a ninja, then you're never on time for your gift giving. But if you're a panda, you're proactive in your gift giving.
I'm going to ninja slap you in a second.
And I'm going to panda evade, which isn't a very good evade because they're lazy as fuck.
Because pandas are fucking huge and slow.
I know.
You going to get it.
Probably.
Slap.
Anyway.
That being said, make sure that you check out all that stuff and answer our S question. With that being said, it's time for me to ask my sister, what shit you digging this week,
Panda? Catbug! Catbug sits in my car now, and it's cute, and it protects me from danger. Catbug! What are you digging this week?
Grays USA. I love Grays. I love getting my little snack box twice a month. They're always very, very yummy. If you haven't checked it out, you need to. And if you want to, because you need an invite code to do so, hit me up on Twitter and say, hey, Ninja, hook me up with delicious snackages. And you know what? I might float your code. Just say it. Make it so. Grays USA. That's what's up. Give me snacks. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm the other one, Pandalicious.
And we are out of here until next week, guys. Bye, everybody.